Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll talk some football with Elliot Short Parks coming up in 5 minutes. Eagles getting together as a crew today, and we look forward to his report. All right, let's get a lot of Phil's calls in here.
I got a question.
Yes.
Your buddy.
What buddy?
From Fairfield.
Your buddy. Let's not talk about my friend from Fairfield. Let's talk about the Phillies.
Is he having a good, like...
Let's talk about the Phillies. Yes.
The guy who is inordinately aggressive.
John, I'm begging
not
you.
Not an interesting guy.
Okay, hang on. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk about the Phillies. I'm begging you. Please. We'll get to the Eagles coming up in 5 minutes. Let's go to Big V right now. Big V, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you, pal? What's up, dude?
Well, first of all, I'm loving the show, but you know, I'm even surprised to actually agree with you on some points.
Ah, makes you very wise. All right, talk to me.
That depends on who you talk to, brother.
You're not kidding. Yeah,
but no, I'm with the Phillies right now. I don't think that we should be at like a DEFCON level. I mean, yesterday win does ease a little bit of frustration for some people, but not a lot for others.
Yeah,
Philadelphia. Sports fans, we want it. We want you to be number one from start to finish. And I think people are starting to face some, you know, realities. But if you look at where they were last year, they were at this time, like, really heating up. They became the hottest team in baseball, and they basically ran out of gas by the playoffs.
Yeah, well, this is around when it fell apart. This was right around when they were in London, and then they had 4 months of being just about a 500 team. But up until this point, they were, you know, they were sky high at this time last year.
Right. So I think if they, you know, and even right now, as you mentioned, if they continue on this pace, they'll still be third seed of the playoffs. So there's no need to actually panic. I think what they should start doing now is start slowly heating up. And one of the main things they have to do is address the issues with Harper. I mean, yeah, Schwarber definitely is the leader physically, mentally, but the team emotionally relies on Harper. When he's slumping, they're slumping, and when he's not playing, they tend to play bad, and they have to, you know, kind of compensate or get over that or encourage something, you know, for them to support on so that they can continue on with a pace that we can basically enjoy them at.
Well, kind of the key to that is he's the superstar of your team.
Yeah.
The way you deal with that is you get him back and healthy, and it's just hard to figure that when we know this same injury has existed for so long without even being attended to publicly. You know, he's been
Correct.
Just dealing with this silently. So then you assume, well, hey, he can come back and play with this year just like he did last year, right? Well, maybe not.
Maybe
you know,
not.
This needs a different level of attention earlier in the season this time around. So it from what he's telling us, it's been made worse by when he got hit in the elbow. You got swelling that's draining down, and now you got, you know, you've got counterindications. You got injuries piling up on other injuries. I don't know how long that takes.
Yeah, and I think Big V, to me, my biggest concern is that, you know, because he can play through it to a large extent. He already has. But he just might not be as effective moving forward.
Well, that's the problem that we've been facing, is that he's been playing through it, and
yeah,
we've been getting very little results. I mean, Harper isn't playing like Harper.
Yep.
And what we're dealing with is that he's been dealing with this for years now. And what's the cliche? Insanity is the same person doing the same thing.
Well, over and over. Yeah, it's not years. I mean, it was last year, apparently, this thing developed. And, you know, it's notable he hasn't clearly been at his best now, in that time. I mean, he hasn't been.
Yeah. Well, wrists are an issue. I mean, wrists and backs are an issue pretty much all the time, especially when you're a hitter. I talked to Pat Gillick about this ad nauseum about being careful. I mean, Jason Wirth was a big concern. We had to do a lot of research, and Pat did a ton of research on his wrist because that was the reason why he got non-tendered by the Los Angeles Dodgers.
It almost ended his career.
And he bounced back and ended up being, Jason Wirth. And God bless him, they finally diagnosed it properly. They finally did the right, surgery on it, what have you. And we benefited from that. But it can be tricky. I don't think that's what we're looking at here. I don't believe. But
yeah.
Again, there's some concern there. But I think this caller makes a lot of sense. A Big V, I think you make a lot of sense because, yes, it's not about how you start. It's how you finish. And we do want these guys to be playing hot and playing well in September rather than playing crappy. And so if they, if that's what we have to deal with right now in order to do that, then I'm okay with that.
All right, Big V, give me a big-time answer. You can win the $100 for the Wild Fork Foods. A great scene in a movie involving college.
Ooh, let's go with Animal House, when he was eating and a family was there visiting, and a woman was complaining about his table manners. He stuffed all that food in his mouth and says, "Guess what I am?" And he spits it out. He says, "I'm a zit."
I think it was a banana.
I like it.
You got it, man.
I forget what it. No, it's cottage cheese. I think
maybe.
I think it was a cottage. It's cottage cheese.
Gross.
That is our.
I'm pretty sure it's cottage cheese.
Our fourth Animal House answer today,
and there should be more.
All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks because there should always be more football, and there will be today. The Eagles with an OTA. It's the mandatory kind, and Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. They get together today, which means Elliot will be on the scene. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, man. So tell us how this one came together, and then we'll get to kind of what it entails, but one day, mandatory, these things used to be three. There was the one year they had zero. So how did they arrive at, let's do one day?
Yeah, so I think over the Sirianni time as a head coach, it's been a couple things. Early on, I think that he didn't do mandatory minicamps in an attempt to get players to come more throughout the voluntary part, and they traditionally have had very good attendance. I know this time around, they've had very good attendance. So I think that's how it started. And then, I believe last year they did 2 days, if I'm not mistaken, coming off the collapse, Vic Fangio in there, two new coordinators. But I think this time it's similar to how they have done it, where it's one day, but as a kind of a trade-off, they expect good attendance throughout voluntary part, and they've gotten that.
How much is
what is this day look like compared to those other days? Is this an extra long day that's more like a real old school training camp day with longer practice and meetings that go with it?
Yeah, so just based off the schedule, it feels more like a regular season type day. I don't know if they're doing it a bit later in the day simply because there's a chance of rain early on and maybe they wanted to push it back. They do have the full 90-man roster today, and that's hard to practice in the bubble with. So just in terms of a schedule, it feels more like a regular season day. And yeah, the practice will probably be longer than those voluntary ones. I think they have, maybe a little under 2 hours, hour and a half on the books there for the schedule. So yeah, it'll feel more like a regular season day.
John, when you were doing this back in the day, how much of this was classroom time and how much of this was on field time?
It was split, like during the regular season when you would come in every Wednesday and have a new game plan installed. This was during the off season. It was going back to square one and restarting, and you get the playbook. Here's day one. Here's our basic, regular field plays, and we'll go from there. So it's going to be, I would think, of another fresh installation of the basics. But these guys are – that. This is great. This is the kind of thing that reinforces – and guys get really sick of players who've been in a system for a long time. Our quarterback has never been in a system for a long time. The one time he was in a system for 2 years.
This is his best year.
Was 2023.
22.
Was it? Okay.
21 into 22.
The 2023 Super Bowl was the culmination. Yeah, 2022. Yeah. So it was Shane Steichen's second year.
Right.
So let's hope we can find some stability with the offensive play caller.
No question. So Elliot,
help.
Elliot, one of the things today that's fun for us on the outside is that we'll get to hear from Nick Sirianni. And I guess this will be the last time until training camp, I think. What are you curious to ask him about? I mean, things are pretty smooth. So what are the nature of the questions that you'd want to what are you getting in there about?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's probably a better question than any I'll have for Sirianni today, honestly. Because you figure, like, how many times in Sirianni's time with the Eagles has there been a press conference where we don't feel there is a pressing matter, right? Like, really, from the second he's...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Been hired, it feels like there's been a lot of drama, for better lack of a better term. So I do think today is pretty standard. You know, I think that maybe asking him how he's going to handle Saquon, or how he has handled Saquon Barkley this offseason so far, at the two practices I've been at, Saquon has been there, but he's done very little teamwork. You know, maybe that's an attempt to kind of slow him down and to not get as many touches on his body throughout the offseason. You know, how things are going with Kevin Petullo, whether, you know, they've now had a full offseason together with him in a new role. So, yeah, you know, we're used to asking about, like, are you going to call plays? Do you still feel like you have the same power? Is this guy going to show up? And for today, it feels like it's a, you know, pretty basic kind of day. But I guess that's what happens when you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll give you one. It's just going through my mind. And, I don't know if it merits being asked, but what his conversations have been like with Howie and Lurie, who have the experience in their chair of having won a Super Bowl, and then the team largely, let's say, took a big step backwards. You could say struggled. You could say take a step back. I mean, they finished 9-7, but it was nowhere near in 2018 what 2017 had been. And what advice they've given him based on what they saw from Duck.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great question. I mean, you also figure, to your point, like, we talk so much about why the Eagles are successful and all these things, and it's because they have people in positions of power that have really mostly seen everything. Obviously, Nick and Jalen have not been off of a season winning a Super Bowl, but once they complete this season, there's not much they will have not seen throughout their time here. Losing the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, having a collapse, losing the playoffs, like, they will have seen everything. So you're right. I mean, who's he leaned on? I know that Nick is somebody that, you know, just from being around him this offseason, he does spend a lot of his time calling other coaches that have been in a similar position, not always the same sport, but he's like a big sports junkie in that way. Like, he loves to talk to basketball coaches. I know he's talked to Michael Johnson, the track star, came in and talked to the team. He's had NFL players come in and talk to the team, retired ones, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, I think that in terms of asking for advice, Nick's definitely big on that.
Have you had a chance to see the players?
What do you mean?
I mean, like, today.
No, not yet this morning. No. So, yeah, Nick talks at 2:10, and then practice,
later,
I believe, is after that. So, yeah, no, not yet. No, we didn't get breakfast.
So, Elliot, let's talk about, obviously, camp's coming up in 6 weeks, and this is the last call before the guys have 6 weeks off and get together. How many jobs are up for grabs as a starting player? Is it three? Is it four? Is it five? Which spots are wide open for who starts?
Yeah, I think there's a few. You know, obviously, I think that safety spot next to Reed Blankenship is probably the most important one that is open. you know, that's the last line of defense in a lot of ways. So winning that job, I think that that's a position where you could see them potentially make a move if they don't like what they see, you know, in that first week of training camp. And that's the other important thing about today. Today is the last day the players have to impress the coaches in the front office before these long 6 weeks. Like, yes, they're off. People will take vacations. But now that they've had this part of the offseason over with, they reconvene, sit down and say, okay, how do we feel about the roster now? Like, how did this guy do over the voluntary and mandatory part of the offseason? Like, is this a guy that we want to be a starter going into training camp? So safety, absolutely one of them. Cornerback, the spot opposite Quinion and Cooper. Clearly, Keely Ringo and Dory Jackson competing there. Tyler Steen seems to have a pretty good hold on that guard spot for right now. We'll see, you know, really when camp opens, where they're moving Kenyon Green with. Matt Pryor is a name to keep an eye on there. He has NFL experience. He's been with the team before, so he's been getting some, you know, some reps with that second team at that spot. So I would say the guard spot, the corner spot, and then obviously the safety spot.
With the cornerback spot, is there movement or rumor on Jair Alexander any further, Elliot?
Yeah, so he's a guy that does make a lot of sense for the Eagles. I mean, he checks almost every box of the of a player we talk about that the Eagles would have interest in, right? Undervalued, not that old yet. He's still only 28. I don't think he turns 29 until after the season, so you get his full year 28 season. I know he's only played 14 games the last 2 years, which is certainly noteworthy, but in those 14 games, he's been, you know, he's graded out just as good as or better than mostly every Eagles cornerback, I believe last year besides Cooper DeJean. So he has played at a high level when he's been out on the field. And I think he's someone similar to James Bradbury prior to 2022. He's released late in free agency. He's going to want to go to a place he can increase his value. There might not be a better situation in the entire league than the Eagles for players to go and increase their value and cash in the next offseason. So, like I said, with camp ending today, this will be a chance for them to sit back down, see what they have, see who they like, and make a decision. But he definitely makes a sense for the team.
You know, we don't do a lot of talking about the special teams, but it's a pretty big deal when you switch long snappers. You got one, we had one for a long time. Now we have a new one. And are we set at that spot now, Elliot?
They certainly hope so. I mean, when you make a move to move on from Rick Lovato, someone that's been there for a long time, someone where, you know, the operation there between Jake Elliott, Brandon Mann, and him has been good. Now, last year, he didn't have his best year. I know, you know, week in and week out, we're not talking about long snapping, but I think the Eagles feel part of the reason Jake Elliott might have struggled is because of you know, some of the snapping. So they make that move. They bring in a veteran guy. I mean, it's his job to lose. Like, I'm not going to say he's a complete lock, because if he gets to camp and it's not going well, you know, they're not just going to stick with him. But I think by signing a veteran guy, they are hoping that they have that position solved.
No doubt. Elliot, good work, bud. We'll talk to you. Obviously, have fun with the OTA today, and we'll talk to you later this week. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
Elliot Sherparks. All right, now that we're in the long snapping zone, two famous long snapping stories related to Eagles. What are they? It's the last 30 years.
Well, Dornbos lying about his college tape.
That's one.
Yeah.
So for those that, Ruben, do you know this story?
I do know this story.
Okay, that's a great. And Rhea, you know this one?
Yeah,
okay. So just for those that don't know, Dornbos, high school player, gets to a college by having someone else be the snapper. And he's like, choose me to be your long snapper, but it's someone else actually in the video. And the college is like, yeah, let's bring this guy in to be our long snapper. And then he developed it thereafter.
They never noticed.
Okay.
That's the most amazing thing.
Yeah. All right, what's the other famous Eagles long snapping story? This
one
had
the guy they got from the construction site.
No, that's touchdown T. That's Jeff Thomason. He was a tight end. But it's part of how Andy Reid got the gig. Andy Reid in the interview with I don't know if it was with Lori Ann Banner, but apparently he did a 45 minute.
Can you imagine doing 45 minutes on the long snapper? Oh my god.
Here's what you got to do. I have a good, you know, special teams thing, you know. And anyway, it's pretty wild. All right, 215-592-9494. Rob in South Jersey. Rob, good morning.
What's going on, Joe? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I just want to talk a little bit of Phil's. I'm down like everybody else. No way am I throwing in the towel on this team yet. We've seen them struggle. It's definitely concerning. they're going to have to right the ship somehow. The one good thing is for these hitters, they should know every single night that they need to score 4 or 5 runs to win a game. Their starting pitching is that good.
Yep.
Now, if they score 4 or 5 or 6 and the bullpen blows it, that's another story. But they don't even need to score that many runs to be successful. That's a really annoying part of this. And to answer the Twitter poll question today, it's not even an opinion. It's a fact. It's Alec Bohm.
And no question.
Ruben, maybe you can answer this. Alec Bohm, I don't understand. Is he afraid or is he present? He refuses in a big spot to work in at bat. He swings at the first pitch every single at bat. He's a veteran now. Why can't he work in at bat?
I feel like he's spite swinging, Rob. I think that's an interesting concept. Is he afraid to work in at bat? That hadn't crossed my mind.
No, he's had some success hitting in the first pitch. I mean, it's not like he has not had success doing it. And I think that he feels like the first pitch of the at bat at times can be the best pitch that he'll get in the at bat. So,
how would he ever find out?
He's had some success, getting singles, but that is canceled out by his first pitch double plays. The reason Bryce and Kyle are the two best hitters on the team, they can, like Joe just touched on it earlier with walks. They can work walks. Alec Bohm should be able to work in at bat, and the fact that he's in his fourth or fifth MLB season, and he can't do it. It's very concerning.
I think the feeling that he has is when there's men on base, he does not want the best pitch of the bat, possible best pitch of the bat, go through the zone without him offering at it.
But
my thing is this: if he is going to offer at that pitch, I'd like to see him get extended and hit it out front. And he doesn't do that a lot because he uses the middle of the field so much. And you know, that's just sort of his mindset. It's one of the things that makes him a pretty damn good hitter is that he uses the entire field. I just feel like, and I said this earlier, and I was not a great hitter, but I know early in the count, I wanted to make sure that I wanted to be early and not late on the first pitch of the at-bat in particular, and when I'm up in the count, 2-0, 3-1, et cetera, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to get beat. In other words, not let it get too deep. I wanted to get it out front.
Yeah, I think, Rob, part of the issue as I see it, because I get the argument that you do have a chance to get your best pitch in the first pitch. But I know this, if you get up 1-0 or 2-0, you got a better chance at a better pitch to hit. I mean, it's just it is.
Stott does it more often than he does. But last night, Ian Happ, he ended up striking out, but he had a 10-pitch at-bat against Wheeler. That was huge for the Cubs. Alec Bohm, he's not as good a hitter as Ian Happ is, but he should be able to do it. And I feel like the fact he chooses not to is concerning to me.
No, it is. All right, give me a great answer, Rob, for a scene from a movie involving college.
I'm going to say the end of the movie Rudy, especially Favreau says, "Who's the wild man now?"
So hold on. I just need to know the scene.
What's that?
Hold on. I just want to write this down properly. Not the scene where they carry him off?
Yeah, but that's all the same scene.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Off the field, okay. And Favreau says, "You're the wild."
Gotcha. Okay. That's why.
Terrible movie.
I loved it.
You'll not get my vote, and plus, they couldn't stand him.
That is true.
You know it's true.
I know it's true. I've seen Montana
interviewed. I didn't know that the first time I'd seen it.
Yeah.
So my dislike of the movie is organic. I just think it's schmaltzy.
It is.
And then when I found out that they didn't like Rudy, it was like, oh, come on.
Ruben, did you know that?
No.
So it was like they were kind of mocking him, like Rudy, and carrying him off the field was like, here's the high school guy that's been practicing with us for a couple of years. We don't really like him. We're just kind of making fun of him. And Hollywood turns it into a movie. And then Rudy becomes a multimillionaire because he gets to give speaking gigs and make all this money.
Yeah. But I ain't mad at him for that.
Yeah, after getting mocked? Yeah, good for him.
Montana was his team. He was like, we weren't really vibing with that guy. Okay. Right, I'll tell you who we're vibing with. Otto Kemp, future starting third baseman of the Phils. Have they ever dumped Bohm? Well, maybe not. Who knows? But he did have a big night last night. And we'll play his first hit of his career, but also what he said afterwards. Pretty cool stuff post-game. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. We've seen their operation, the people, the technology. We did our show over there at headquarters. Man, it's so impressive. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leader for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything: mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, so you know, I want to do this AutoChem thing and get to the positive, but let's get the negative out of the way first with our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin Certified One Owner Pre-Owned Pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question of these four hitters, whose struggles bother you the most? Bone might get 101% of the vote here today. Four choices, right? Bone, Kepler, JT, and Stott. JT's struggles don't bother me. It's the end of a contract.
We kind of know the reasoning, yeah. So you just get it.
Yeah. Kepler's annoys me because it follows last year's with Austin Hayes. And it just feels
not really his fault.
No, but it,
better than Austin
but it bothers me in that there's the
sadly.
It's not. It's a repetitive nature of a Dombrowski move that just didn't work.
Another swing and a miss. Yeah.
Stott doesn't bother me as much as Bone, but it concerns me more because I think it's got more long-term implications. If you said to a Phillies fan before this year, who's more likely to have the job in 3 years, Stott at second or Bone at third, almost everybody would say Stott at second.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And he is struggling to the point where now you wonder, you know, is he even going to be the second baseman next year? Probably will, but I don't know, man. And then, of course, there's Bohm, who I think will win this poll. All right, with that said, that's some negative. Let's get to some positive. Otto Kemp has been up a couple days, got a hit last night. Let's listen.
Swung on line to left. That's a base hit. First major league hit for Otto Kemp into the alley in left center. It'll be cut by Pete Crow Armstrong, but boy, what a ride for Otto Kemp, undrafted, signed after college out of a Division II school. He's got his college coach here today. His family is here today. And they've just seen Otto pick up hit number one in the major leagues.
Nice. All right, Rube, you're the one guy here that did it. What is it like to get? So for those that are not watching us on YouTube, Rube just had a nice big smile come across his face. I go, what is it like? And he knows where I'm going here. Ruben Amaro Jr., what is it like to get your first big league hit?
Well, for me, it was like a monkey off my back because it took me like 10 plate appearances. I'd walked a couple times and was like 0 for 7 or 0 for 8 or something like that. It is a great feeling. It almost feels like, you know, rite of passage for a major leaguer that, you know, you're now a big leaguer. You've got a hit in the big leagues. It's pretty spectacular.
Did you, all right, two questions. Did you smile at first base? And question two, did you tell yourself, I can't smile at first base because I can't be that rook that looks like a kid that just got my first hit. What went through your mind when you got the first?
I did not smile at first base. I was actually angry because Ozzie Guillen had like stole three base hits from me in my prior three at bats.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of flipped one into over his head and dropped it in front of the left fielder. So, but the other thing was that Frank Thomas was at first base, and I had just stolen a hit from him.
Mm.
And he was not happy with me. I mean, Frank Thomas wanted his hits. And I said something to him like, hey what's happening, Frank? And he, nothing.
No.
Got it, goose eggs.
That's awesome.
Nothing. He didn't say congratulations.
No on your way.
Nothing. He gave me nothing, man. My brother was there, though, for my knock. It was in Chicago against the White Sox. It was fun.
How about that? All right, so good job by Otto Kemp last night. And really made an impact on the game. Three hits. And a key, John, the bunt in the 11th inning was tremendous.
His bunt, Stott's bunt,
yeah.
But that all came after JT leading that thing off. He just had this look. He knew he knew what he had to do. He just had that confidence. He was exuding it. I believed in him at that point. I did not believe in Brandon Marsh. I did not think Brandon Marsh was going to do what
he
did.
But the bases were loaded with nobody out, so you should somehow get the guy out.
That happens
I figured
a lot with
eventually,
this team,
with three outs at our disposal, we'd figure it out. Brandon Marsh, that's the first time he's ever had a hit of that nature, isn't it?
Like a walk-off, yeah. It was his first
walk-off.
Can I
just say, I got to give some love to the player development people and to the Phillies just because how many teams actually get bunts down? Zero in this day and age. It never happens, and we got four of them down yesterday. Four.
Gorgeous bunts.
And I'm serious about this. Now, you know, Contreras, who is the manager there in AAA, they're obviously doing the things that are necessary, that are fundamentally necessary to win baseball games, because you don't just bunt a ball, come to the major leagues and bunt a ball, make a perfect bunt, unless you have worked on it. And it's something, you know, this is a guy who was hitting like 370 in the minor leagues. It wasn't like he was bunting. I'm sure he was working on his bunting. For him to do it, you got to give the guy some love for doing it in a big spot, number one, and getting it done. Fundamentals are not worked on in most organizations anymore, and to have these guys get it done, that was big.
You think the next time we see Rojas try to bunt, it'll look more like Stott's and Otto
Kemp's
from
yesterday.
Last night?
Rojas had two yesterday. Perfectly executed bunts.
Was it both of them?
He had two perfectly executed bunts yesterday.
You know who bunts in modern-day baseball?
Nobody.
Guys that aren't hitting well.
but that's okay.
Okay.
No,
I agree.
To have that self-awareness as a team and as a player.
When you're not going well,
I agree.
Drop a bunt
I'll give Rob Thompson credit for I think, strategizing all that, because especially with the Stott one. Now, think about it. When Stott gets that bunt, JT's on first base. You got the winning run on first base. You got nobody out in the bottom of the 11th. A lot of times, that's swing away time in baseball. But Stott's been struggling, and Rob Thompson's like, yo, dude, throw a freaking bunt down. Maybe it's going to be a sacrifice. Maybe you get a hit. I give Topper credit for pulling that out, because especially when you consider Otto Kemp's the next hitter. I mean, how many times would you see?
I couldn't believe how.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that was good strategy, but the joke still holds.
But strategy is one thing. In order to execute those bunts just so. I mean, it was as deft a job as you could in terms of like deadening.
It was
that
perfect.
Thing was doom. I mean, not even a throw.
It was
not even a throw. Like look around. Everything was done so perfectly. There's nothing you can do as a defender twice.
Exactly
in
what I'm going to
clutch situation.
They weren't designed to be hits. They were designed to be sacrifices.
Right.
And they gave themselves up and got the job done. Double
and then
jeopardy.
They hustled that much more.
That's the other thing about Otto Kemp. And I try to make that point when he first came to the big leagues was when we were on the road that, you know, he's not a slug. He can run the bases. He's got some bags. He's not a base stealer necessarily, but for him to bust it down the line, be safe, that was big too.
And that's the kind of thing I expect to pull out against Fritz when me and him are against each other. Because you think that guy can cover? And if he does one time, he's going to be huffing and puffing so much, he won't be able to throw.
How do you do that against?
You're
going to bunt in a contest against?
Yeah, I want to make Fritz play some defense, and he's going to be so out of shape. It's going to be brutal for him. All right, Otto Kemp, more of him because he...
You're going to leg it out.
Well, maybe. He helps them win the game last night. He talked after the game about the experience.
And was this your first time ever in this ballpark?
Yeah, it was today.
Why was that the case? Why did you never come here before?
Yeah, I just tried to keep it special. I just tried to keep it something that I get to do on the first day that I make it to the big leagues, and it was kind of just a little bit of motivation to keep me pushing and get to this point.
That's a good job by him, and he also made a nice defensive play at third. So maybe he does push Boehm here, and maybe this becomes a situation where maybe Alec Boehm's not an everyday player. You know, when everyone's healthy and you can start juggling guys around in the lineup if you choose to. All right, one more from Otto Kemp because he talked more.
It's unbelievable. The energy that I felt today, the support from all these fans, the buzz is crazy. And that was another reason why I didn't want to experience it before the first big league game. So just it was awesome. I am excited to be a Philly.
All right, so Rube, let's ask this question because we're trying to figure out today, you know, what can the Phillies do to be a better team? So let's just say when they get healthy, and they should at some point. Bryce Harper's my first baseman. I don't have Boehm playing first. I got all my guys at the disposal. How close, in your opinion, is Otto Kemp to taking some playing time away from Alec Boehm?
None, because he's going to go to left field and play. Take that time. That's what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to go play left field. Okay. And because they're just not getting and I'm a little surprised by this because I was talking about it amongst our colleagues that. I really felt like Kepler really looked good in spring training. I thought he was going to be a productive player right now. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if he doesn't feel comfortable being a platoon player. I don't know. But he's a better hitter than this, but he's not showing it, and he's not producing, and it's a production business.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised by it, and it's not, you know, he's not getting it done. They need production in the outfield. They're going to go to Otto Kemp, I think, in left field.
Okay,
that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, they certainly got multiple spots to fix, so it's good to know that he can fix one of them or platoon a little bit in different spots. Did they make a mistake getting rid of Cody Clemens?
No, I think Cody Clemens just needed an opportunity somewhere else. It's one of those deals where
but this team could have used
Weston Wilson is a better player than he's played, but it's difficult to be a young player and be off the bench. He can play defense, he can run, he can do a bunch of stuff. He's struggled because I think he's not getting a lot of opportunities, and you don't get to play every day, and it's a tough thing to do. And,
Hey,
Cody Clemens I liked a lot. I'm glad he's getting an opportunity to go play. When he gets an opportunity, he does well. And, hey, that's just circumstance. Sometimes, you know, guys just need a new place to go play because his role here was going to be different. He wasn't going to go pinch hit against left-handed pitchers.
Yeah.
It just wasn't going to happen.
All right, 215-592-9494. We're trying to figure out today how to fix the Phillies. There are a lot of options. You can trade guys away. You can dump them. You can try to trade for better players using the minor leaguers. You can play the minor leaguers. You can change the batting order. What would you do? I know the Phillies won last night, but it certainly doesn't solve the problems. What would you do to solve the problems? 215-592-9494. Let us know. More on that up ahead. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. All right, baseball fans love the long ball, obviously. And with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, they're giving you even more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday. That's today. Every Tuesday during the MLB season. Because on Tuesdays, it's Dinger Tuesdays. Dinger Tuesdays. All FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost. That means you can bet on the moonshots and win even bigger at FanDuel.com/hammer. Just visit FanDuel.com/hammer, find the player or players to go yard, and obviously, with this squad, there's one in particular to choose, and lock it in at FanDuel.com/hammer. Remember, you can get that Dinger Tuesday profit boost. NBA Finals available for you. Game 3 tomorrow night, NHL Stanley Cup Finals, Game 4 available, happening later this week. All the bets, all the games, all the action available for you to win and win big at FanDuel.com/hammer.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.